among the nations. Nobody like you, Lord. This ain't nobody like you.
We want to thank you tonight. We want to magnify you. We honor you because you are God. And tonight we yet lean on you that you might bear us up and take us to that place in destiny that you have ordained for each and every one of us. Bear us up on eagle's wings in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. We were still looking at the life of Abraham, trying to study how God appeared to him. Hallelujah. So we'll just recap it from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Read from verse 17, and then we'll move to Isaac. Hallelujah. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Notice, it is not only son, but only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. The logic behind this act of faith in offering Isaac is captured in verse number 19. I'd like us to look at it very closely. Verse number 19. Does it sound like what we have been talking about? Can you put verse 19 on the board for me? Verse 19. The logic behind Abraham's faith is found therein. The Bible says Abraham was accounting that God was able to raise him even from where? The dead. Remember when God appeared unto Abraham, God introduced himself to Abraham as the God that, what? Raises the dead, number two, and the God that calleth those things that be not as though they were. So we could see that that appearance with which God encountered him was still operational in the situation of Isaac. What was responsible for his seamless style of obedience to the call to offer up his son was the way God appeared to him. So it was easy for him to offer up Isaac because he knew by the logic of faith that God was able to raise him from the dead. So most of the challenges that Abraham had in around his destiny required a God that could reverse the process of death. Required a God that could reverse the reality of death. Required a God that could reverse the sentence of death. So because of that unique appearance of God to him, he had faith in these matters. Okay? Now, we are going to look at the personality called Isaac. I pray we are able to gain a little ground. And don't forget our introductory scripture. It is in Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. Where's my media man? He has gone to sleep again. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he shall let them go, and with a strong hand he shall drive them out of his land. And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of El Shaddai. So that's where we are. That's how I chose to appear unto your ancestors. But there's a dimension of me that was not revealed to them. So they could not function in me with the knowledge of this dimension I did not disclose to them. This dimension was classified. And now the circumstances on ground require that I unveil that dimension that I did not unveil to your ancestors. That's why he came for this introductory encounter, to unveil another dimension of himself to his servant Moses. Are you there? So our objective in this study is to see how God appeared unto Abraham as El Shaddai, how God appeared unto Isaac as El Shaddai, and how God appeared unto Jacob as who? El Shaddai. By the time we are done with that, and then there is another additional one, how God appeared unto Joseph. Because I'm going to show you that Joseph is in this schematic diagram here. Joseph is included. So if we see the way God appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, and unto Joseph, your own story is already captured within these four experiments that God did. And if you can understand the dealings that God had with our ancestors and begin to apply it to your life, you are going to find that God actually wanted to deal with you. Right? That's why he chose them as a sample to unveil the efficacy of his covenant power over their destinies. And your life is included in that syllabus of the El Shaddai that God had established through the lives of these our ancestors. God will help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, in order for us to enter deeply into the issue of Isaac, the encounters of the El Shaddai that came to Isaac, I will want to read a scripture to us quickly. Who is there in the book of Genesis chapter 26? We are going to labor a little in Genesis chapter 26 until we capture how God was able to reveal himself to this servant of God. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine in the days of Abraham. So, in the case of Isaac, what God is dealing with is a famine. In the case of Abraham, what God dealt with are dying things. His wife's womb was dead. His own body became eventually dead. And the reason why it was easy for him to offer up his son Isaac, because he knew that God had the ability to raise the dead. You see, in the discovery of the personality called El Shaddai, we must understand that he is the strong. And the first item that he tested his strength with in the life of Abraham was death and dying situations. You are not dead yet. But maybe your finances are suffering from the symptoms of death. El Shaddai can visit. This is the way I study my Bible and apply it to my life. And it works. So I'm trying to show you the way I live. If you can take a risk to believe this El Shaddai, in 1 year, 2 years' time, you will have a story that is so cogent that you can pass on to your children. Hallelujah. About the faithfulness of God and how God deals with his people. But in the case of Isaac, what God is contending with here is a situation of what? Famine. And there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him. I will need to give us some insight before I talk about the way God appeared unto him. You know, it was already captured that God appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob as the strong one. The strong one that can contend with any situation and upturn such a situation. Now, this guy had a history, because the famine we're talking about is not new. That famine showed up in the day of his father. And the record that was chronicled in the time when that famine came up in the days of his father was that his father moved to Egypt. So this is what happens in the Middle East. Anytime the circuitry of rainfall was affected, what they did customarily those days was that they came down from the hard deserts of the Middle East and they moved temporarily into Egypt. That was the way they used to survive those days. And then when the rains are restored, they can migrate back to their dwelling places. So Egypt was a breadbasket for many nations, because the entire Middle East will collapse into Egypt in the days of famine. And that was because of the river Nile that passed through the borders of Egypt. And whether or not there was rain in Egypt, the water of the Nile was sufficient to water the cattle of all the herders that were within the region of the Middle East. So the natural thing to do, the logical thing to do, and even Abraham did that, although if we study Abraham's journey to Egypt, we know it was not based on instruction from God, but it was already in the chronicle. And so his son felt the way to go was to follow the example of his father. So it was natural. It was not something to ask God about. He had already made up his mind that he wanted to do Egypt. And then God intercepted him. How did he do so? The Bible says, the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Hallelujah. We are going to analyze this statement very, very critically. Verse 3. He said, go not to Egypt, dwell in the land that I will tell thee of, sojourn in this land. So he has revealed the land. And I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Verse 4. Part of this oath includes that I will make thy seed multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, all that was happening was in keeping with a covenant that his ancestor had fulfilled. And then God came to him and said, yes, I understand there's a famine in the land, and the most logical thing to do is to move over to Egypt, move your family to Egypt, move your entire clan to Egypt for survival. And when the circumstances are more suitable, you can decide to come back. But the El Shaddai, when he came to Isaac, came with an instruction. He came with what? It means that if God gives you an instruction, this is our God, right? If he gives you an instruction, let me counsel you. There is no reason on earth that will be tangible enough as sufficient reason for you not to obey that instruction. If you don't know that in this life, you will know that in the life that is to come. When El Shaddai wants to begin to deal with a life, part of what he will do is that he will start giving instruction. If you are going to continue to hear God clearly, it is going to be because you are used to carrying out his instruction. Part of what God puts in place to secure your future is tied to the instructions that he will give to you today. It was normal for people to migrate to Egypt because of the circumstances, but he said, do not go down to Egypt. Sojourn in this land. And write in this land the covenant and the promise I made to your ancestor Abraham will begin to come to pass, because I'm going to be involved in your life as the all-sufficient God, as the El Shaddai. Hallelujah. Many times, especially if you want to accomplish a project and the amount that you have is not sufficient to prosecute the project, many times when God comes, when the El Shaddai comes, he will say, okay, that amount you have, that, give it out. Has it happened to you before? Sold that one as I see. Because it is possible for you to be putting your confidence on what you have, what is physical. Meanwhile, what God wants to use to support you is grace. Grace happens to be the currency that God makes available, with which he makes supplies to prosecute his intentions in the lives of men and in generations. That's what Apostle Paul meant when he made us to understand that God had prepared for us spiritual blessings that were domiciled in the heavenly realms. So that means God planned for your life before you were born. You will never know how much God planned for your life before you were born until you learn how to fulfill an instruction. Normally, what the instructions will do, and normally what God will do, is that he will give you an instruction that looks like a disadvantage, because you want to do a project, the project is 100,000 and you have 7,000, and then he says give away the 7,000. Looks like a disadvantage, but that 7,000, which is your confidence, you give it away because you were receiving an instruction from who? The El Shaddai. That act of faith of giving away that 7,000 makes you eligible to withdraw from the grace fund. Now, you're not with me. How many of you have ever taken a look at the Naira note? If you have done that, you will find out that every Naira note belongs to the central bank. And that's why there's an endorsement of the governor of the central bank on every Naira note. It is the property of the Central Bank of Nigeria. But if you're offered an employment and you go to work for 30 days, you are entitled to a paycheck. The instrument with which you can effect transactions happens to be the currency, the money. And because you have worked for 30 days according to the conditions of service of your employment, you are entitled to some of the commodities that central bank owns. That money is now passed on to you as your own property, your entitlement, on the strength of the 30 days of duty you have prosecuted. Are you with me? And then you can now use that money as a means of transaction for your own personal issues. As long as the money is in central bank, it belongs to central bank. But the day you put in your 30 days of work, part of it will belong to you. Now, what I'm saying is this. What God did was that the resources to prosecute all of our destinies is in a form called grace, a kind of currency called grace. And in order for you to be eligible to a certain supply of grace, which will support you to accomplish what God wants to do in your life, you need to believe in God. Faith is that you are willing to obey Him. You become a candidate that will begin to actualize grace. And grace is the currency that God uses to accomplish anything that He does. And God is insisting that the only way you can operate is by faith. He insists. And that's why I read that scripture the other day, the one I was asking Abike to comment about. Therefore, it is by faith that it might be by grace. God insists that you must walk by faith. There is no other available formula by which you can relate with God. The faith formula is the formula that God has appropriated. And that's the only way you can have access to the currency, which is grace. So, if God says, don't go to Egypt, stay here, and you obey Him, even though it's logical for you to go to Egypt, and you have a record that one of your ancestors went there, it is the thing to do, but the instruction you have received is contrary to what human beings will naturally do. It means that you have decided to discard the records of your ancestors and to operate by the instruction of God. It means you believe God more than history. You believe God more than circumstances. You believe God more than your strategy. You believe God more than your wisdom. And you are staying back in the desert because God's voice came to you. When you live that life, what you are doing is that you are opening yourself up to be powered by the currency called grace. There is nothing that can defy the ability of grace. Nothing. Nothing can defy the ability of grace. When everything has stopped working, that's when grace can begin to work. When everything humanly possible has failed, that's the situation that is better for you to understand the capacity and the capability of the grace of God. If you have never been there before, I can tell you a few stories. If you have never been sick before and you gave up, how many of you have been there? You were sick, so sick. Oh, okay, God has been helping all of you. You were so sick and you didn't know whether you will survive again. Been there before? If you have been there before, you will know that life is not prosecuted on the strength of your intelligence, your know-how. There is a currency, there's something beyond your ability that is responsible for your life today. It's called grace. And men that decide to obey God, to listen to what God is saying, and to put His instructions to work, become eligible to grace, become entitled to a kind of grace that will come into their space and defy the facts that are in their circumstances. Let me show you a few facts here. First of all, the famine. When you hear famine, what it means is there has not been rain. And because there has not been rain, or maybe there was insufficient rain, the implication of that is food crop production is going to be on an all-time low. It means there will not be sufficient food to take care of the population. And somewhere along the line, there is going to be scarcity. There's going to be lack. There's going to be hunger. So, and the strategic thing to do in a situation where the supplies cannot meet the demands of the population, the smart thing to do is to go to where they have surplus. But God spoke to him. There were some senior ministers in this city. One of them walked up to me and said, "Young man, I've listened to your messages on social media. I think you have a message from God. You have modeled there. I think, yeah, God sent you. But we were here before you. And this land has the tendency of swallowing the heads of his prophets. In order for you not to end up like us, I advise, because I see you are gifted, just move to Abuja." Is that not? That's the logical thing to do. And then there is a catalog of preachers that move to Abuja. And the list is on the increase. People that moved from here. In fact, one of them, God had helped him. They built an auditorium. And the moment they finished building the auditorium, he moved to Abuja. Left his pastor there. And the church, the pastor was trying his best. The membership began to dwindle until it became two members, one pastor. And in the fullness of time, it was the pastor that left, not the two members. May the Lord may the Lord give you understanding. It was the pastor. It was the pastor that left. There's a long list of ministers that were sent to this territory, and the moment, and God will support them. God will, and when they receive a little ventilation, they will mop up the resources and move to Abuja. That is a normal. We have an established history of people that move like that. And there was a certain pastor that moved, and he went and built a structure somewhere in Abuja. And in the days of El-Rufai, the structure was demolished. That was enough sign to tell the pastor that nothing is covering. You are not covered here. He came back and repented. And said, and when the circumstances improved again, he took off. So when this senior minister came with this counsel and said, "Please don't end up like us." And I felt he was being very sincere. So I went back to God and said, "What are you saying about this thing?" God reminded me again that he did not send me to where? Where he sent me to is. So we say we are not going anywhere. If we are going to die here, then let it be written that this man, he was on the journey to fulfill God's purpose. We don't know whether he fulfilled it, but in the process he died. That's a good way to die. So when we remained where God instructed us to remain, a time came when the currency called grace now opened up. It will only respond to people that are in obedience to the instruction of God. So let us look at your life. Can you remember the last three instructions God gave you? Please give me a microphone quickly. Last three instructions. Because if you obeyed it, you will never forget the instruction. The reason why you are likely to forget the instruction is because you didn't take it to heart. The thing about the scripture is this. Are you with me? Every instruction is the if you read the Bible and you find the instructions of God, if you begin to obey them, you will remember them. If you don't obey them and it ends at reading, you will forget it. So you are going to become a forgetful hearer because you refuse to obey the instructions of God. If you begin to obey it, you will never forget it. That's how the scripture is. So when you notice that when you stand before the mirror and you left the mirror and you forgot what you look like before the mirror, it is because you refused to obey the instruction of that mirror. Because when you stand before the mirror of the Word of God, it doesn't show you how you are. You know, the natural mirror shows you how you are, but the mirror of the Word of God shows you what you are supposed to be. If you forget how you look like, it is because you refused to begin to obey the instructions of God enshrined in the Bible. The three last instructions. Yep. Give the brother with a red tie. Do you remember the three last instructions that God gave you? Just be truthful. Be truthful. No, you don't need to stand up. Sit down. I'm already standing for all of us. Be truthful. Three last instructions.
Well, I can't.
You can't remember.
Remember three.
Okay.
Vividly.
Okay. Wait. The reason you can't remember three is not very likely that you obeyed them. You will always forget what you don't obey. Like, for instance, God said I should resign. How can you resign and not remember? I'm just trying to make you understand that most of us are religious. We are not having any real transaction with God. No real transaction. Most of us like the things of God, but you are not having any personal transaction. You are not allowing God to exert his influence on your life. And that's the reason why time may pass and your life is not changing. Not because what they preach to you is not true. It produced results in my own life. And I'm telling you, as raw as it is. You see, if I make a mistake, I will tell you. If I get it right, I will tell you. I think I'm a sincere man. I think on the scale of sincerity, I'm high. Because I tell you the way it is. If I went somewhere that was lost, I'll come back and say, hey! So that you will know that I'm a man like you. And if I've survived, it's because of the grace of God. So there's nothing unique about me. Everything that is unique is about Jesus. And your ability to access him is what makes you stand out. Because there's a spiritual supply that supports your destiny. And the evidence of the fact that you have lived above the troubles that bedeviled others is a proof that you have grace working in your space. What the life of Isaac reveals, as we begin to analyze it, is a man that is supported by the grace of God. That's what I find in the life of Isaac. Give a sister. Look for a sister. No. Look for this. Move it here. The three last instructions that God gave. You don't need to stand. Okay. Well, maybe it will make the camera people able to get you. Okay, you can stand if you want to.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I rear ducks. A neighbor of mine came that I should give her one. So I was willing to give her.
So, okay, you rear ducks. Okay.
Yes. So when I went back to ask God that, should I give her? He said no. So another time again, she came back that she wants to buy.
Now she does not want free. She wants to buy now.
Yes, I was not free to sell it to her.
Okay, you were not free to sell it to her.
After some times, I don't know what she did anyway, but she died. Another one. There was this particular time I used to pray.
Okay.
Then at a point, it came and changed the time.
It changed your prayer time.
Yes.
Did you swing her along?
Yes.
You actually did.
And some things, I saw some things happen positively.
Because you changed your prayer time.
Good. Then the last one, I read this chicken.
You read chickens too?
So one time.
I think we need to visit. Ago. We need to visit you. Now, one thing I would like you to see. Hey, you see, you are looking at the wrong things. God will instruct you on very trivial issues, very simple issues, very everyday issues. He will instruct you about them. The reason is because you need to begin to make a practice of obedience. Before God can ask you to do big things, he would have asked you to do little things. Are you with me? And I need to tell you the truth. As much a giver as I am, because if you are close to me, you think I'm crazy. I have a call to give. That is, it's a call. So I have grace to give. As much as a giver as I am, before I give, I ask God. Because I know there are people that know that I'm a giver, and they are trying to use that to exploit me. I know. So when you finish talking, I will go back and say, are you involved in this? Right? And like she said, a certain person made a request. I said, okay, I will look into it. I went to God. And God said, no. Don't give him. I don't know why. But he said, instead, give that other person. So I obeyed and I gave the other person. And I did not give this person. Alright? I don't know why he said that. But you see, I have grown in obeying the voice of God. And the truth is this. If you want the voice of God to be clearer to you, begin to practice obedience. That one that you are not sure, obey it. Are you there? When you begin to obey that one, it will start becoming clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. The life of Isaac reveals the need for our ears to be open to hear the instructions of God, even though there is evidence that the logic of how to deal with this circumstance is this way. Your ears must yet be open. You must allow God to be able to interrupt and intercept you. Is that clear? All right, so, sister, sit down. So let me give you a scripture. Let me give you a scripture that seems to capture the working principle of the idea that was fulfilled in the life of Isaac that we are trying to look at. The scripture will be Psalms 23. We may not be able to go too far today. But the first verse of Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So what does a shepherd do? What does a shepherd do? Provides direction. So there is an economy of God that is only available to people that have found the Lord as their shepherd. And what that means is the Lord can speak and you'll be willing to obey. And the result of this obedience is that it will deal with your wants. You see? He will deal with the things that you want. Just because he is what? A shepherd. So if you have unending needs, every day you are the one in need. Every day you are the one in need. Every day your own needs never expire. Then we need to ask, have you found the Lord who is the shepherd? You see, today, some of you are favored because you have a pastor that will open up and tell you the truth. What you have today, many of us did not have 20 years ago. 20 years ago, this was how we survived. You will need to learn how to fast. and you fast constantly, you fast deliberately until you begin to receive a and your Bible is your companion. Oh, those days on campus, I won't read any book until I've read the Bible. And I read to practice. I read to practice. I allow it to judge me, to judge the way I talk, to judge the way I react, to judge the way I spend money. All right? And so, the Bible was our close companion, and prayer was the only way out. And then, as we began to pick the perceptions of God, little by little, we began to obey. And then, the vault of the grace of God started opening gradually. And we started understanding the mind of God till this day. Are you with me? Somewhere along the line, the Lord led me to my father in the Lord, and I submitted to him, and I thank God for that leading. But before I submitted to my father in the Lord, I could hear God very clearly. I could obey God very consistently. And I started taking the things God told me about this ministry. I would take it to him to check. And it's okay. 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 But this aspect, you do it like this. I follow it. I follow his instruction. I already started hearing God before I met him. Are you following? I know he prays for me, but I don't depend on his prayer. Because I have a relationship with God. Do you understand that? That was how we navigated. And there were few men of God that will cover you and not be jealous about your destiny. Few that time. There were so few that will create a platform for you to rise. So, among these few, my father in the Lord is one of them. I think, probably the chiefest among them. Because I've not seen a preacher in Nigeria that is like that man. So the example he gave me is the one I'm giving today. If you do not invest in your life and make Jesus your Lord enough for him to give you direction. If you follow what I'm telling you, in the next few years, you will thank God that you met me. And meanwhile, I need to tell you this, there are people all over the world that are listening and they don't have the pastoral aspect of ministry that once and again can be open to you, that are physically present here. They don't have that aspect. They are just following the teachings and they are growing with God. They are navigating with God. You are here listening to the same thing that is building people, building ministers of the gospel. No great thing will happen to you if you cannot receive an instruction from Jesus. I just went to the East. One of our pastors came to me and said, that Jesus spoke to him that in the next 3 years, he will have to quit his job. And I knew Jesus spoke to him. Are you following? I said, okay. That's a good idea. Follow him. Like I did. Like I quit my own. And because it was Jesus that was responsible, instead of me to quit and then have need, my life now is better than when I was working. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. It is better for you to be opened up to the resources of grace than for you to have money in your pocket. That's what I will tell you. And you become eligible to grace when you are willing to obey the voice of God. When God comes into your space, he will give you instructions about little things. Pray this time. Don't eat tomorrow. Things that you can do. Can you leave sleep for 5 days because of me? Things that you don't need to pay money to do. And then you start getting used to it. For 5 days. Monday you stand up and you pray all night. When it becomes daybreak, that's when you go to sleep. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You went for 5 days because you felt your Lord wanted you to be awake. Those are little things. Then one day he will now say, take your bag. Move to the place called Benue State, Makurdi. That's where your destiny is. You don't know anybody. But you know that, okay, yeah, you were in Lagos. You even had a job. You had to resign. And then you moved to Makurdi. When you moved to Makurdi, it wasn't as if you were enjoying, but you were surviving. That's the first layer of grace. It gives you the survivor ticket. Oh, you are not with me. So that you will know that what makes you survive is not the money you have in your pocket. You may not have money for 3 weeks, but you were surviving for 3 weeks. Then your respect for money. But if you didn't have grace for 1 minute, you will not be here. He wants to show you the excellency of the grace of God above money. Then you say, okay, what if I fell sick, but you didn't fall sick? What if this happened, but you didn't happen? You know, it's because we're all grown up now. Why didn't Satan kill you when you were 7 years old? You were surviving by his mercy and grace all along. Don't try to be smart. Stay where he says you should stay. Remember, please help me tell your neighbor, faith doesn't make it easy. Faith only makes it possible. So you've stayed here for, some of you have stayed here for almost 2 years, and it is possible. And you don't know anybody. And now you are beginning to know people gradually. So it's even better than the first time you came. That's how it's going to be better. And it's going to be better. It's going to be better. It's going to be better. Until you can tell your son. Maybe tomorrow he senses a calling to the United States, doesn't know anybody. You can say, my son, come. Having grace is better than having money. We have a lot to talk about. I don't want to start because of the time. I will end here for today. I'll pick it up tomorrow. Then we'll see the life of this man. All the times the man tried to do the things his father did, because his father dug some wells. So he attempted to dig the well of his father's, and the enemies fought. Because God wanted him to have his own experience, wanted him to be a pioneer, to do some things that his father did not do. Many of us know how to. Your father was a civil servant. You know it's easy for you to become a civil servant. But when God now begins to lead you to do something that nobody in your family has ever done, that is the key to accessing strange grace.
Yes.
If God wants to raise somebody among your people that will become the harbinger of the new things that God will do, and through the life of that individual, God will visit your family the way he has not done in the last 100 years, he will give you an instruction that he never gave your ancestors. And if he's the one that sent you, he will keep. And with time, when you look back, you will give him glory for his great wisdom. There's a lot for us to talk about. But some of you are already feeling it. He will give you glory. There's no normal man. Right? If you want to be normal, the normal things you will do. But if God wants to raise an abnormal man, he will give you an instruction that he has never given any member of your family. He said, leave your job, move to Benue State. And that's the last instruction. You pray, he can reveal other things. He won't reveal anything about this. It was still in that land that he became a great nation, just because he was living in obedience to a whisper that God had given him. We're going to pray tonight that God will give us grace. Grace to stay where God has directed us to stay, until the wells of that land, the springs of that land, will gush forth because of your obedience to the voice of God. There are springs that God will use your obedience to open. There are springs. When he dug again the wells of his father, the Bible says that the Philistines stopped it with earth, until he removed from thence and dug another well. I know you remove from thence, you are in the process of digging, and the well will soon break forth, and you will have a testimony to tell that any man that works with God has access to the grace of God. Can we ask him, say, Lord, give us grace to develop the stamina to stay where God has assigned us. Let our willingness to be accurate with God be more than the predictions of the circumstances and the situations in the location. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Stay where God has assigned you, and in a short while there will be a spring that will break forth, and the pattern that your life will sustain will be different from the pattern of everyone in your family. You will be the one to sponsor some of your sister's children, because what God will open through your life will be so massive that it will overflow. Men will begin to thank God because you obeyed God. The Lord will bless you so that you can be a blessing. Grace to stay where God has assigned you. I will stay. I will not run away. I will stay. The grace of God will support me. I will stay, because a new pattern will come out of my destiny. I will stay. Circumstances will not drive me. I will stay, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Your obedience to God will open the channel of the grace of God, and anything that the grace of God supports, nothing can conquer it.
Jesus' name. I will stay. And Isaac sowed in that land. And in the same year, he reaped 100-fold. And the Philistines envied him. In that same land, God will make you a great nation. In that same land, he will make your name great. So I will stay. It's not about the location. It's about the grace of God. The grace of God is more brilliant. When the situation is not convenient, then suddenly it becomes evident that the grace of God is involved.
Jesus. Listen to me. I've seen people in Lagos that cannot feed. Right? It is not about the location. And when God puts you in a situation where it looks like you don't have support, you don't have... He wants to show you how powerful His grace is. We refused to leave to Abuja. The opportunities were there. There were even times that the opportunities for me to buy a house in Abuja came up, which would have facilitated the movement. But you know what? I knew in my heart that God was not sending me there. You will see many people from different nations will come and start staying in this city. Do you know what your obedience can do? Just you, just only you. Just he said, no, I will stay. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everything will meet you in the location where God says you should stay. Everything. It is in that location you will meet your husband. It's in that location you will meet your wife. It's in that location you will meet with the circumstances that will give you the push that you need. And all is a work of the grace of God. You can't use any formula to interpret what is happening other than the grace of God. So I will stay. So much counsel for me to leave. I will stay. I made up my mind many years ago. And after each year, I said, I stayed one more year. I stayed another year. I stayed. I have stayed. And I didn't die. So when it was obvious that I would not die, I stopped counting. And then we kept pressing. And then the grace of God began to come. The grace of God began to come. The grace of God. Who told you? It is through you that some people that are your relatives will see ventilation in the days to come. This your obedience to God is creating a possibility that will overflow in that direction. The Bible says that Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That means nothing could eat up his faith
no circumstance could make him sober and depressed. It was settled. You want to say, God, my faith will not shake. My faith will not shake. Every good thing has been allocated to me where God says I should be. Every good thing. That's where the things will come and meet you. You will not be going after it. It will come and meet you. There's those things will come after you. They will navigate in your direction. Because God planted you in a place. That's how it works. My faith will not shake. I will not be moved. I heard the voice of God say, go back to Benway State. Go back to Benway State. I heard that voice. The voice said, you will invest in many destinies and a great network shall be formed. I heard that voice. That's why I'm here. Because that voice spoke to me. And that voice is a voice of God. And God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Something is going to shift in your life. Receive strength for your faith in the name of Jesus. Everything will come to that place. Everything will navigate in the direction of that place. Every aspect of your life will fall into place because you are located where God has ordained for you.
We receive strength for our faith in the name of Jesus. Makoseli.
There is a famine that God wants to conquer. It is because of that famine that God will give you an instruction that is unusual. There is a famine. But your obedience to the voice of God is going to be your key to surviving that famine. Your obedience will break the hold of that famine. I don't know how long the famine has been. Maybe it's a family type of famine. It's something, a trend, a pattern. And God wants to break the pattern. He wants to break the trend. And then he gave an instruction as the antidote to the power of the famine that is ravaging every life, ravaging every destiny. Oh, and I seek so in that land. The famine will give way. Because you are located in the place that God has ordained. That famine, it will give way. You will be the first to break free from the bondage of that famine. And your life will be an evidence that the grace of God is superior to anything that Satan can invent. Your life will be a testimony. Samokoria Besali. I'm
Tomena mina gosketaya. Eso salamo korea. Meli makanteli. Angole masakata. Embrekete da konde. Iamo santelia. Iakabela mokota. Iakasulama. Iakasketo belamantelia. Esuse makalababoria. Oh yes. In the name of Jesus. Finally, because Abraham left home, so when Abraham died, Isaac did not have uncles that were in the vicinity, so he didn't have anybody to run to for help. They say, okay, borrow me salt. There was no relative. He was alone in the desert, and the only asset he had was the voice of God. Maybe where you are now, there's nowhere to run to. I've been there before. It's not a scary place to be if you are there with God. There's no relative that you can turn to and say, this is my... If God wants to help you, he will put you in that wilderness where there's no support, because he wants to make you a spring. There is something that will break from your life that others will come and drink from. Can you receive strength to pay that price so that you will become to others what no one was to you? No uncle in sight. No auntie in sight. No relative interested. But the Bible speaks about them that are planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth their fruit in their season. Their leaves also, it shall not wither, and whatsoever they lay their hands upon to do, it shall prosper. You are a pioneer. God wants to begin something with you. The way of the pioneers is the way of faith. It's the way of hearing the voice of God. It's the way of standing in a desert with the covering of the Holy Ghost. Even though it seems that you are standing alone, His shadow is behind you. Out of your life will come forth a worm that will water the dry land. That is why He called you. Like a tree planted by the river. his leaves also shall not wither. And whatsoever he lays his hands upon to do, it shall prosper. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And those words, God put it in my spirit to encourage someone here. He plucked you away from the known territories of your life and transplanted you far away from any form of support. It is not a thing to mourn about if you were planted by the rivers of water. The same way the waters will bring moisture, that's how grace will strengthen life. The man that is walking in obedience has a supply that the people around never know anything about. He's planted by the rivers of water. The El Shaddai is dependable. You will never know how dependable he is until you have nowhere else to run to and you are standing alone in the cold, in the desert. The Lord will confound your fears, for grace is stronger than your unbelief, is stronger than your fears. Satan will be speaking through your fears to cripple your confidence. But you are planted by the rivers of water. The Bible says, and his leaves also shall not wither. There is an operation of the grace of God that renews his strength. Sickness is far away. Things that will bring injury, they are far away. Somehow he survives when he's not supposed to survive. His leaves also, it shall not wither. For he shall bring forth his fruit in his season. Your fruitfulness has been charted in the calendar of God's season. When your breakthrough in the area of marriage, in the area of other aspects, will begin to fall in line, there is a season that captures the answer to the prayers that you are praying today. For he shall bring forth his fruit in his season. Oh, and for many of us, your season is coming. Your season is coming. Your season is about to break upon you. Your season. Your season is coming. Your season is coming. I go back to Alamaya. Selino Mokoto. Sikabresco. Palamonte. Rakapeto Kotia. Kaskato Minakabela. Mama de kosabela, rosketa kule mama yeko tamena. Your season is coming. Like the morning spreads upon the mountains, your season is being proclaimed in the realm of the spirit. Your season comes.
bless him. Appreciate him. Exalt him tonight. Father, we thank you. We worship you. We give you glory. Lord, we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you please be seated in a moment? Proverbs chapter, offering basket can go around, please. Proverbs chapter 11, I think verse 3 says, if the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? And many times, if you are sensitive in the spirit, you will see that God speaks to us in manners, in certain ways, to lay foundations for the things that are becoming due in his purposes and plans for our lives. And very, very critically, on this is a series that we'll be having on the El Shaddai. And I want to assure you that if you build your life on these truths, they're going to constitute a major foundation for the next phase of life for you. Praise the Lord. So I'd like to encourage you, go over these messages again. Have a pen and a writing material in your hand and trap things very personal. Not just a message, but receive the ministration of the message for yourself. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're streaming this meeting online. God bless you. Welcome to church today. Also, the account details are on display. And just like we had been announcing, work is still very much going on at the embassy. And we don't want you to miss the opportunity to be a part of a new beginning in our lives as a people. The work going on there at the embassy is actually a new beginning for us as a people who have been working in obedience to God's instruction. So make sure you put a building block, leave a memorial in that work that is going on there. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's so painful in the book of Nehemiah how that God was building among his people and the noble, certain particular category of persons, refused to put their hands to the work. But the work was done nevertheless. I don't want to see what God is doing being done in spite and despite me. I want to be a part of it. I want to be a co-laborer with the Lord. So make sure you do something about that project that is going on in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Tomorrow we are going to be here again. And schedule, plan your tomorrow to accommodate that appointment with the Lord in Jesus' name.